argue with Sarah. Besides, she speaks with such certainty that I almost doubt myself. She looks at the spots of spaghetti sauce that have dried on my shirt, then reaches over and pulls a hardened piece from my hair. "Thanks," I say. She sighs. "I'm sorry that happened." She looks me in the eye. "We're not together, you know."
"No?"
She shakes her head. I'm intrigued that she felt the need to make that clear to me. After 10 minutes of instruction on how to make pancakes, none of which I actually hear, the teacher, Mrs. Benshoff, pairs Sarah and me together. We enter a door at the back of the room that leads to the kitchen, which is about 3 times the size of the actual classroom. It contains 10 different kitchen units, complete with refrigerators, cabinets, sinks, ovens. Sarah walks into one, grabs an apron from a drawer, and puts it on.
"Will you tie this for me?" she asks.
I pull too much on the bow and have to tie it again. I can feel the contours of her lower back beneath my fingers. When hers is tied, I put mine on and start to tie it myself.
"Here, silly," she says,
and then takes the straps and does it for me. "Thanks." I try cracking the first egg, but do it too hard, and none of the egg actually makes it into the bowl. Sarah laughs. She places a new egg in my hand and takes my hand in hers and shows me how to crack it on the rim of the bowl. She leaves her hand on mine for a second longer than is necessary. She looks at me and smiles.
"Like that."
She mixes the batter and strands of hair fall into her face while she works. I desperately want to reach over and tuck the loose strands behind her ear, but I don't. Mrs. Benshoff comes into our kitchen to check our progress. So far, so good, which is all thanks to Sarah, since I have no idea what I'm doing.
"How do you like Ohio so far?" Sarah asks.
"It's okay. I could have used a better first day of school." She smiles.
"What happened anyway? I was worried about you."
"Would you believe it if I told you I was an alien?"
"Shut up," she says playfully. "What really happened?"
I laugh. "I have really bad asthma. For some reason, I had an attack yesterday," I say, and feel regret at having to lie. I don't want her to see weakness within me, especially weakness that is untrue.
"Well, I'm glad you feel better."
We make 4 pancakes. Sarah stacks all of them onto 1 plate. She dumps an absurd amount of maple syrup over them and hands me a fork. I look at the other students. Most are eating off of 2 plates. I reach over and cut a bite. "Not bad," I say while chewing. I'm not hungry in the least, but I help her eat all of them. We alternate bites until the plate is empty. I have a stomach ache when we finish. After, she cleans the dishes, and I dry them. When the bell rings, we walk out of the room together.
"You know, you're not so bad for a sophomore," she says, and nudges me. "I don't care what they say."
"Thanks, and you're not so bad yourself for, whatever you are."
"I'm a junior."
We walk in silence for a few steps.
"You're not really going to fight Mark at the end of the day, are you?"
"I need my phone back. Besides, look at me," I say and motion to my shirt. She shrugs. I stop at my locker. She takes note of the number.
"Well, you shouldn't," she says.
"I don't want to." She rolls her eyes.
"Boys and their fights. Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow."
"Have a good rest of the day," I say. After my 9th period class, American history, I take slow steps to my locker. I think of just leaving the school quietly, without looking for Mark. But then I realize I will forever be labeled a coward. I get to my locker and empty my bag of the books I don't need. Then I just stand there and feel the nervousness that begins to course through me. My hands are still normal. I think of throwing the gloves on as a precaution, but I don't. I take a deep breath and close the locker door.
"Hi,"
I hear,
the voice startling me. It's Sarah. She glances behind her and looks back at me. I have something for you. It's not more pancakes, is it? I still feel like I'm about to burst. She laughs nervously. It's not pancakes, but if I give it to you, you have to promise me you won't fight. Okay, I say. She looks behind her again and quickly reaches into the front pocket of her bag. She pulls out my phone and gives it to me. How did you get this? She shrugs. Does Mark know? Nope. So are you still going to be a tough guy? She asks. I guess not.
Good.
Thank you, I say. I can't believe she went to such lengths to help me. She barely knows me, but I'm not complaining.
You're welcome, she says,
then turns and rushes down the hall. I watch her the whole way, unable to stop smiling. When I head out, Mark, James, and 8 of his friends meet me in the lobby.
Well, 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 Mark says. Actually made it through the day, huh?
Sure did. And look what I found, I say, holding my phone up for him to see. His jaw drops. I pass by him, head down the hall, and walk out of the building. Chapter 8. Henri is parked exactly where he said he would be. I jump in the truck, still smiling.
Good day, he asks.
Not bad. Got my phone back.
No fighting?
Nothing major.
He looks at me suspiciously. Do I even want to know what that means?
Probably not.
Did your hands come on at all?
No, I lie. How was your day? He follows the driveway around the school.
It was good. I drove an hour and a half to Columbus after dropping you off.
Why Columbus?
Big banks there. I didn't want to draw suspicion by requesting a transfer for an amount of money larger than what is collectively contained within the entire town.
I nod. Smart thinking. He pulls onto the road.
So are you going to tell me her name?
Huh? I ask.
There has to be a reason for that ridiculous smile of yours. The most obvious reason is a girl.
How do you know?
John, my friend, back on Lorien, this old Sepan was quite the ladies' man.
Get out of here, I say. There is no such thing as a ladies' man on Lorien. He nods approvingly.
You've been paying attention.
The Lorik are a monogamous people. When we fall in love, it's for life. Marriage comes around the age of 25, give or take, and has nothing to do with law. It's based more on promise and commitment than anything else. Henri was married for 20 years before he left with me. 10 years have passed, but I know he still misses his wife every single day.
So, who is she?
He asks. Her name is Sarah Hart. She's the daughter of the real estate agent you got the house from? She's in 2 of my classes. She's a junior. He nods.
Pretty?
Absolutely. And smart.
Yeah. He draws out slowly. I've been expecting this for a long time now. Just keep in mind that we might have to leave at a moment's notice.
I know, I say, and the rest of the trip home is made in silence. When I get home, the Lorik chest is sitting on the kitchen table. It's the size of a microwave oven, almost perfectly square, 1.5 by 1.5. Excitement shoots through me. I walk up to it and grab the lock in my hand. I think I'm more excited about learning how this is unlocked than about what's actually in it, I say.
Really? Well, I can show you how it's unlocked. And then we can just relock it and forget about what's inside.
I smile at him. Let's not be rash. Come on, what's inside?
It's your inheritance.
What do you mean, my inheritance?
It's what's given to each guard at birth to be used by his or her keeper when the guard is coming into his or her legacy.
I nod with exhilaration.